Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we are here today to worship your holy name, and we truly give thanks for that blessed assurance of salvation. What else can we do except for lift up our hands and sing our song to you? And so we ask that you be with us at the remainder of this service as Brother Cal brings the word to us. Bless him, encourage him, motivate him, lift him up, and guide him as he preaches and teaches from your word. It is in Jesus' holy name we pray, and God's people said, amen.
Good morning. We're kicking off Thanksgiving season today, this week. I would encourage you tonight over at Heart and Soul Church off of Union Street, Steve Lanham's place. Diana's going to be singing there tonight, and one of Gold City's old singers, Stephen Ladd's going to be there. And so if you really want to kick off your Thanksgiving season, come on tonight. And then let me just make you aware, I know Andrew or someone will probably make this announcement a little bit later, but we're going to have a Holy Ghost heaven-sent service here Tuesday night. Now, for those of you that are afraid to come and pray, we're not going to spend the whole time praying. We're going to get in worship. And we're going to give testimony. We're going to serve. Our deacons are going to serve communion that night. And we're just going to have a great Thanksgiving service. Now, we will pray a little bit. But I promise you, I won't call on you to pray. Okay? So, y'all come Wednesday on Tuesday this week. 6 o'clock. Hope to see all of you here. It's been a great weekend. You'll be hearing a little bit later about what God did up at Pigeon Forge with our teenagers, our young people, with hearts on fire. And I could go on and on, but we need to get in the Word this morning. Amen? Amen. This is Thanksgiving season, and we are beginning the week today with a message of Thanksgiving. I want to talk to you. I use the title, Thank You, Lord. We've got so much to be thankful for. Maybe one of my favorite Thanksgiving verses is Ephesians 5. And verse 20 that says, giving thanks always in all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You mean tell me we've got to be thankful always? Always. We got to be thankful in all things? All things. So how do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The psalmist answers that question for us in Psalm 97. So if you have a Bible, I know we've been up and down, but let's get up for Jesus' sake right now. He's the written word. He is the living word. Amen. Psalm 97. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're there, say not quite. Come on, Bible drillers. Yeah, all right. Psalm 97, the Lord reigns. Well, let me say that again. The Lord reigns. Politics doesn't reign. Presidents and kings don't reign. God reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let Second Mile rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness and all the people see his glory. Father, bless and honor your word. May the Spirit of the living one fall fresh on us here today. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The scriptures tell us over and over again, we're to be thankful in all things. We're to always be thankful. So how do you do that? Well, the psalmist answers that question for us really with four tremendous truths today. But, you know, I think part of the problem is sometimes we get caught in this Thanksgiving trap of thanking God. Is that Abby and Seti on the front row all the way from Texas? Hallelujah. Sometimes we get caught up in this Thanksgiving trap of thanking God for all the things. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that at all. But what do you do when the things are gone? You can praise God and thank God for your health. But I'm here today to tell you, you're not always going to have your health. What do you do when it's gone? We can thank God all day long for our money and our resources, our wealth, our possessions. But what do you do when the money's gone? We can thank God for our families, and we should. Amen? How many of y'all going to spend a little time with some family this week? And then after a couple of days, tell them to all go home. We can thank God for our families, but I was talking to a family this week, and it's like a war zone at their house. What do you do when all that stuff's gone? Well, the psalmist tells us that we can always be thankful for the giver, even if we can't be thankful for the gifts. So I want to give you four quick truths this morning of what real Thanksgiving looks like. Everybody just say, thank you, Lord. First off, we can be thankful for who God is and what God's done. First thing, God rules over the earth. Look at verse 1 again. The Lord reigns, the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Jump down to verse 9. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Now, we know there's no such thing as other gods. But we do tend to worship other things from time to time. And what the psalmist is telling us, we can be thankful because our God rules. He reigns over the earth. But He not only reigns over the earth, He's over all the universe. God's got this. He's in control of everything. Hallelujah. We can be thankful for that. God reigns over the earth. Now, I don't know where you are in your theology today, but I want you to listen to Proverbs. There's some great, great stuff over in Proverbs. And listen to Proverbs 15:21. Actually, it's 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Let me say that again. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. God is everywhere. And God knows everything. And he's got His eyes on the evil and the good. God knows what's going on. Did you all know that there's five words God never has to say? I did not know that. He knows everything there is to know. He sees everything. He is in control. And then Proverbs 5:21. Man, this is good. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He ponders all His paths. The eyes of the Lord are on His people. He's watching over everything. How many of y'all have trouble sleeping sometimes? I know everyone in here has to have some trouble sleeping every now and then. But you know what? Our God never sleeps or slumbers. He's up all night, all the time. And so if God never sleeps, why can't I go ahead and sleep? Right? Because He's got everything under control. He's got everything. Nothing happens to us that's not first been filtered through His great big hands. God's in control. I've never seen this political mess, this political season that we've just been through. It's like all of our hope, all of our trust, all of our faith, all of that stuff is in politicians. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I want to tell you what, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's who we look to. That's who we look to. God's got this. Whatever it is that you're going through, He's in charge. He's in control. You got trouble. You got trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Well, God knows about it, and He sees everything that's happening, and He's got all power in His hands, and He can do anything that He needs to do. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, our God rules. Hallelujah. Now, look at this second truth. I really like this one. God is real. He's real. I've had people ask me before, how do you know God's real? Are you kidding me? Look at these verses. I need to get back to Psalms. Yeah. Psalm 97 in verse 2. Clouds and darkness surround Him. In other words, He's wrapped in clouds and darkness at times. Look at verse 7. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship Him, all you gods. God is real, even though you can't see Him. Now, you can't see God this morning. You can't grab God this morning. You can't touch God, but He's real. He's real. You know, there are sometimes, y'all, I wished I had a better vocabulary to express to you. You know, sometimes it's just like, you're just like sitting in His lap. Four, y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's like, you know, the anointing falls on you, and it's just like, man, His Spirit is so thick. Y'all have heard me call it thick as peanut butter. It's kind of like when Simon Peter was up on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember that? He was up there with Jesus and Moses and Elijah, and old Simon Peter said, it's good for us to be here. Well, duh, Peter. It's good for us to be here. Let's stay a while. Spill some tabernacles. Sometimes, you know, God, it's just so, man, God is so real. And then let's just be honest about it. There are other times when God seems a million miles away. You don't know where He is. But just because you can't see Him, clouds and darkness, it's hard to see through a cloud. How many of you have ever been up in an airplane and all of a sudden the plane's going through clouds and all you can see is the cloud? Couldn't see what was on the other side. And then all of a sudden the plane got on the other side of the clouds and you saw the sun? You know what I'm talking about? And you can't see in darkness either. But hallelujah. And really, I think what the psalmist is trying to say there are, in some sense, you cannot truly know all there is to know about God because His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And yet, you know, it's kind of like God is clothed in majesty, but He's also clothed in mystery. But it doesn't mean that God's not real. He is real. How many of you know God's real? He shows up and shows out every now and then. And I believe that's what He's going to do here today. How many of y'all sense the Spirit and the presence of the Lord with us this morning? Yeah. Yes, she's in a Baptist church. Amen. Hallelujah. So, y'all remember that old song, my God is real, real in my soul, for He has what? Y'all haven't heard that before, have you? It's a great little ditty. It's a good tune. My God is real, and so is yours, because His name is Jesus. Glory to His name. So this Thanksgiving, you can be thankful for who He is. He rules. He reigns. He's real. Aren't you thankful that our God is real? He's not some figment of your imagination. He's not some idol. He's real. And then here's the third point, the third great truth. And I believe I like this one as good as any of them. Our God is righteous. You can thank God that He's righteous. Look at verse 2 again, 2b. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Wow. Verse 6, The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Our God is righteous. He is a just God. He is a good God. God does everything right. He's never done anything wrong. God, there's something else God never had to say. Oh, I am so sorry. I made a mistake. No, God is righteous. And sometimes God's righteousness and justice really blow me away, because you know what? If God gave me what I deserve, that'd be justice. I had a good buddy of mine tell me years and years ago, he said, "Cal, when I die, I want what I deserve." And I said, "No, you don't." We deserve to be separated from God because of the choices and the sin that's in our heart and life. But God loved us so much that He sent His righteous Son. And Jesus lived a perfect, righteous life and died on an old, cruel, Roman, rugged cross so that I could be set free. He is righteous. He always does what is right. I really enjoy reading about Corrie Ten Boom. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Yeah, she and her sister Betsy got in trouble with the Nazis for hiding Jewish people in their homes and other places. And so one day the Nazis came in the front door and arrested them and took she and Betsy, Corrie and Betsy, to a concentration camp in Ravensbrück, Germany. And it was an awful place. I mean, the living conditions were terrible. They were starving to death. They weren't clothed properly. The shelter, it was overcrowded. Some of the women in their barracks had to sleep on the floor. And one of the worst things was the place was infected with fleas. But every day, Corrie and Betsy would get those ladies together and they'd have Bible study. And one year around Thanksgiving, they ran across that verse over there in Thessalonians. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And all of a sudden, Corrie said, "Well, I can't thank God for everything." And Betsy said, "Oh, yes, you can." And she said, Corrie said, "I'm not thankful for these fleas. I hate these fleas. I'm not going to thank." And she said, "Oh, yes, you will. Because that's what God's Word tells us to do, to be thankful in all things." And so the ladies bowed their heads and even thanked God for all things that day. But you know what? Several months later, they got out of that prison camp. And you know what they found out? The only barracks in Ravensbrück, Germany, in this concentration camp that was allowed to have Bible studies was Corrie and Betsy's barracks. You know why? Because the fleas were so bad and so thick that the guards wouldn't even come in the barracks. And so Corrie realized, you know what? These fleas, I thought they were a curse, but they were a blessing. And so whatever it is that's going on in your life, God knows what's happening. And whatever He does is righteous. And He'll take care of everything that you need. How many of you have been through a tough time this year? Some of you have been through some really tough times. But I want to tell you, when God allows something to happen, He does it for our good and His glory. So that we can even help somebody else that has to go down that path. And I like it. Hey, y'all, I'm just like y'all. I like the good times. Let them roll. But I hadn't learned much about life, and I sure hadn't learned much about God when times aren't tough. I was talking to one of my buddies earlier, and he's been through cancer and chemo and all that mess this past year, but he looks like he could whip a bear with a stick this morning. And he said, "It was tough, but I'm on the other side of it. I don't know what God's doing right now, but I can tell you this, He never does anything wrong. He's always right. And he's got your best interest at heart. Romans 8:28. He's working for your good and his glory. I don't understand everything, and neither do you, but I tell you what, we can thank God this season because he is righteous and he's holy. We can thank God because he's real. I see God in our teenagers. I see God in our children. Did y'all not see God over here at the baptismal pool? Now, Oakley's not God, but, you know, you understand what I'm saying? He's real. We can thank God because he reigns and rules. He's got a plan. He's working it. And here's the last thing. God's responsive to all our needs. Look at verse 10. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. You who love the Lord, isn't that us? Isn't that us? Hello? Hate evil. And he preserves the souls of his saints. Now that word preserves is a very interesting word. It speaks of a wall or a fence or a hedge of protection around the souls of God's children. And nothing gets past that wall unless God allows it. Nothing gets over the wall. Nothing gets around the wall. Nothing gets under the wall. Nothing gets through the wall unless God allows it. And if God allows it, you're going to learn something great. Because there's a walk with Jesus that you can't get any other way but through the crucible of suffering. But he knows what's going on. And aren't you thankful that he preserves us? That he protects us? He provides us? I could say so much about that right there. But if you're one of God's children, he's not ever going to kick you out of his family. If you're one of God's children, he's not going to get so upset with you that says, I'm done with you. He's going to be with you. He's going to work with you. And he's going to meet your needs that you have. Anybody in here had your needs met this year? Glory to his name. Now I want you to see this. Look at verse 11. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Light speaks of not only does God guard his children, God guides his children. God guides his children. My mama's favorite verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will direct your path. He will direct your path. I got kind of weepy early this morning. I started looking back on my life. And I got to looking at how, y'all, I shouldn't even be here. There have been several instances in my life, and for some unexplainable reason, God didn't allow me to check out of here. I shouldn't even be here. He guards us, and he guides us. And so when I look back at my life, and if he'll do this for me, he'll do it for anybody. But God has so ordered my steps. And he so led me. And I look back at my life 45, 50 years ago, and I didn't understand some things that were going on, but God did. And he ordered my steps through those days. And I can look back now, even though I didn't understand it then, and it makes sense now. God's at work. And he's doing a work in your life. And sometimes God allows tragedy to come into your life. And when he does, he's going to provide exactly what you need. And it'll eventually wind up being for your good and his glory. And so when the tough time comes, here's what God's going to do. He's going to ask you, are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me? I can do anything. And I can turn this tragedy into triumph in your life. I can use it for your good. And I'll be glorified. And so this season of Thanksgiving, I want to just ask you, I can't tell you all to go do anything, but I can ask you. My dad used to say, if you don't ask for something, you won't get anything. When you're sitting around that Thanksgiving table this week with your family, with your friends, write down three things that you're thankful for who God is. Write down three attributes of God, three characteristics of God that you're very thankful for. And then write down three things that God's done in your life. Maybe He's provided for you in some way, protected you in some way, given you peace that passes all understanding in some way. Maybe He's given you direction and guidance and helped you to make a decision that you need to make. But just write those down. Maybe even let your family be a part of that. And y'all just sit there and thank God for who He is and what He's done. I'm so thankful for Jesus. Aren't you? Would you just bow your head with me and pray with me? This has been a short message this morning, but God's with us. He's here. I know He's here. Father, this is your time, not mine. Would you make us more thankful? Would you teach us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to be thankful in all things because this is your will in Christ Jesus for us. And so God, I pray right now with all my heart, every fiber of my being, that you would touch each one in this room today with your anointing, power, and presence. Oh God, do what only you can do. Do what only you can do, Father. For those that need salvation, save. For those that need a closer walk with you, draw them closer to you. For those that have a need today, help them to bring that need to Jesus at this old-fashioned altar here. God, whatever you want to do, this time is yours. And we promise to give you all the praise and the credit and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand quietly and reverently, and the altar is now open. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.